Hey, it's Bethany here with Dialed In. I'm so happy that you're listening today. Before we hop into this episode, I wanted to let you know about a new resource for this new decade. It is the Action Takers Resource Guide. So I know from experience that it can be so hard to know where to start. When you're thinking about making a change in your life, you know it's going to be uncomfortable and you know that it's going to take some time and dedication. And sometimes there's just so much information out there that it's hard to narrow down and choose a focus. So I've done that for you. In this resource guide, there's a complete list of all different kinds of things and ways for you to start. So here's how I want you to use this. Go to my website, bethanyclem.com. Simply enter your name and email. You get an immediate download of this resource. You can print it out. You can have it on your computer, but it takes you through all different steps to get to know yourself better. There's a list of podcasts that you can get plugged into. There are a huge amount of books here that you can start reading to help change your life. And there's even tools that can help you stay organized, among other things. Now, just pick one area. Just simply pick one area that appeals to you that you think, you know what, I could work this in to my daily routine, or I could work this into my routine 2 or 3 days a week. Pick one, get started. I'd love to hear how it goes. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you like the resource. And I can't wait to see how this year is amazing for you. All right, we'll get to the episode. Until next time, take action, live big, and enjoy Dialed In. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on sharing real, actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live a big life. Now, our guest today is part of the Big Life series. If this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who, well, they're living life in a big way. And when I say big, what I mean is that they're dialed in to who they are and they're living life using their strengths and talents, doing things they love. Today's guest is Dr. Inga Hoffman. Inga is an academic physician scientist with a passion for leadership in medicine. She is devoted to helping other physician colleagues develop and embrace their leadership skills and to become the best they can be. Inga received her medical degree at the University of Freiburg in Germany, and she trained at some of the most prestigious programs in the country, including the University of California in San Francisco and the Dana-Farber Boston Children's Hospital Blood and Cancer Center at Harvard. She is currently the director of the Pediatric Stem Cell Transplant Program at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Inga's passion for leadership development led her to join the John Maxwell team as an executive director. Using her skills as a speaker, trainer, and coach, she enjoys training individuals and groups of physicians in the areas of leadership development, professional skills, and personal growth. She really helps them thrive in medicine and in all areas of their lives. Welcome to Dialed In, Inga.
Oh, thank you, Bethany, so much for having me. I am so honored and excited to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited to hear from you. Prior to us starting the recording, I told you that I think you're one of the first people that I've had that's a physician and in the healthcare arena. So I'm thrilled for those listeners that are in this sector, they can grow and learn from you today. So as we get started, can you tell me what your idea of living big is, or maybe how you're living big in your day-to-day life?
Yes, yeah, I love this topic because I love your slogan of sort of living big. You know, as academic physician, what I realized over the years, I always followed sort of the expected and well-established path of what an academic career should look like. As you know, that usually is with, you know, training and subspecialty training and doing research in an academic medical center, and I did all of that. And there came a point to me where I still felt that the traditional goals and expectations of what success looks like, that didn't really fit me. And in fact, that now I think that's kind of playing small, because that is only such a small aspect of who I am. So for me, living big really means being brave and bold and embrace the other, you know, passions and skills that I have for leadership training, for just helping academic physicians be the best they can be. And that kind of shows up in all areas of life. So, you know, basically embracing to play big and think big and not being shy about that because it is unconventional.
I love that. So has that been hard for you? I mean, what challenges have you faced in your career when you're kind of breaking the mold, so to speak?
Yes, I think that has definitely, it has been a tough challenge, to be honest. And it's been not easy, because of certain expectations and how a perfect career should look like. And maybe just by way of stepping back, now I kind of see and realize that. You know, when I was, and I'm still in academic medicine, but when I was early on in my training and then finished and became an attending, meaning became independent, it was very clear to me, suddenly it was very clear that the world that I so embraced, I thought at the other side of that, finishing the training and being an attending and basically being independent, was all glory and it looked all great. And it wasn't. And that actually was the big challenge. It was very eye-opening to me that suddenly nobody's really watching out for you anymore. Suddenly you have to create and embrace your own life and set your own goals versus follow those that are kind of pre-established by a training background. And that was really eye-opening for me. Through a series of difficult challenges and transitions, I really embraced and realized that at some point I cannot look to other people who do this for me anymore, because in medicine we are so ingrained in, because there is a well-established path, to follow that path, and we kind of lose that independent way to think and designing our own lives the way we want it. We're not really trained that way anymore because of training and background. So that became very clear to me that I suddenly realized, you know, if the system is not that what I hope to be, the other side isn't all that glorious, then what do I really want? What are actually my values that I want to live by, and how do I want my life to look like? And this is really how I got into personal development, thinking about my own growth before I think about anything else, and also about leadership skills. So that was definitely a journey, and that early breaking point was a big challenge, and it still is. It's still a daily effort to embrace that.
Wow, I love that. So I have a half of a page of notes written down just from that, like 5 minutes from what you said. There's so many lessons in this. So, okay, so if I have a listener on the other end here that's hearing you say these things, what would you say to them? How would they get started if they feel like they're in a box in their career and they're unfulfilled, maybe because they're missing some pieces? Maybe they love what they do, but they're missing some pieces outside of that. Where do they start?
Yes, that is a great question. I think the first part is being honest with yourself and realizing that if you feel like yes, you were like, for example, I really enjoyed that academic medicine part, but there was always something missing. To be honest and say, that is just who I am, and not saying it is wrong or listening to other people that is wrong and you should embrace that, but being honest and say, this is who I am. I have more gifts and talents than just being a physician or just being a scientist or just being, in my corporate job and doing, administrative work. So mm-hmm. that would be the first step. One step that has really helped me was looking at values. I couldn't even have told you years ago what my real values really are. If you would have asked me, Inga, what are your core values? I would be staring at you and I would say, well, I want to be a nice, happy person. I want to help others. It would have been a very fluffy answer. It was an exercise for me to go through and establish what are really my core values that I live by. And now I know these. These are leadership, excellence, and compassion. And that kind of fills everything I do. And it became really a guiding compass. So that would be the second part. So defining what your core values are, because it really helps you understand who am I actually and what are the values I want to live by and which ones I don't. Mm-hmm. And then I think the third key step that I realized is, and I have this throughout my career, there is always a lot of naysayers. There's always the people that will tell you, often very well-meaning. They will be my mentors, my advisors. Mm-hmm. They will be friends. They could be even family. People mm-hmm. usually mean well when they give you advice, because most of the people, they do want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. But I realized that a lot of the negatives, you cannot do this kind of thing, or stay narrow and stay focused. That's what I hear still to this day. Inga, you're doing too many things, and it is probably true. I do a lot of things, and I have to say to myself to focus and be very mindful of that. That is definitely a challenge for me. But on the other hand, I keep on learning and realizing that you have to shut out these naysayers. And if you really, in your heart of heart, feels this is your core, the core of who you are, your passion, then make it happen, no matter what other people say. And looking back at my career, I think I often did that, but it took some, took some hindsight to realize, oh yes, I have done this over and over and over again, sort of overcome the naysayers, and it's still true. So breaking out of that mold, you will find a lot of naysayers for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. Okay, this is great. So what does this translate to in your life? What does this look like for your career and for your personal life?
Yes, embracing multiple roles definitely takes some, I have to be honest, it takes some skill, some self-leadership, mm-hmm. some constantly setting priorities, and it is a challenge. But on the other hand, I love it. So in my daily life, just speaking very practically how that looks like, I mean, I have my daytime job as an academic physician, and I have a leadership role in my division, and I love it, and I really embrace that. And when I'm here, I'm all in, typically, I'm all in my patient care activities or what I need to do for the program. So that's kind of my day job. So I do compartmentalize that and usually don't let other things trickle in there so that I can mm-hmm. keep a clear, focused mind. But that means that all the other activities I'm doing, I have a family with two young boys and a husband. So mm-hmm. I'm a mom who is trying to embrace that and figuring that out. And then all my personal development things and leadership, coaching, those compartments and those pieces truly live outside of the regular work hours. So you can call them. I don't have any other hobbies, I guess. I do have other interests. But these are the things I do on nights and weekends. But I have to say I really enjoy that. the learning and moving things forward. Even it sort of I embrace my nighttime hours, I guess, with that more than just consuming things and watching Netflix, which is what I used to do.
I think this is a great example of living big doesn't mean you abandon your job and start living in a tent and travel the world. I mean, it can mean that. You can do those things. Mm-hmm. But living big can also look like embracing where you're at and adding other things in that feed your soul so you're fulfilled in all different areas. So it sounds like you have a level of harmony maybe between your love of what you're doing in your practice and in your profession, but you also have a blend of growth and pouring back into others in different ways outside of work. And of course, then your family is obviously very important too. And what a great example. It doesn't mean you have to abandon the career path you've chosen or the thing that maybe you were passionate about years ago just because maybe you feel a little bit unfulfilled. You just have to figure out what fulfillment looks like for you and then find things to fill the bucket. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. And as you were speaking, I realized, you know, how perfect the title of your podcast is. It's Dialed In, and that's exactly what it is. And because for me, it constantly means that I have to dial and tune in what's happening in my life. And to be honest, it's a constant reevaluation and adjustment. You know, there are things that I did a year ago or 2 years ago that seemed like a great idea that I have to adjust. Or just how I make this whole, you know, harmony and balance all work takes constant fine-tuning and dialing. And to be honest, it's not always perfect. It's not always harmonious and easy in a way that sometimes I do feel overwhelmed or challenged. But I have to say, and those moments I ask myself, well, maybe you should just give these extracurricular sort of activities outside of my day job up, and maybe you're just dreaming too big. And I realized in that moment when I asked myself that critical question, I would take away, like just like you said, a core essence of really what fuels me. And and actually, very honestly, I feel that has made me so much better at my job. The whole reason why I got into leadership and this whole personal development industry, it is solely because of hard experiences and hardships in academic medicine that I told myself and I promised myself when I walked through some really difficult times that were really tough, that I want to be a leader that leads teams well, and that I want to learn those skills, and I want to be better at this and make people feel empowered and valued and lift them up. And whatever it took for me to kind of drag myself out of my own hole that I was in, because I felt pretty challenged by being in academic medicine at some points, drag myself out, develop skills that help me to move forward and be actually more productive and happy, even I do so much more than I used to, and now give it back to others. And I couldn't just give that up, because I know what a core piece of ingredient that was to my success and still is.
Mm-hmm. Great insight. When you first started and you were learning what your values were, can you tell us how you did that?
Yes. Yeah, it was a very practical exercise. It was very easy. At the time, I took a digital course. It was, I think, the first digital course I ever took. And it was an exercise exactly. It was about productivity and those type of things. And it was an exercise about figuring out your values, basically, you can even Google it. If you just Google, values, sometimes you find a list with pages of just words that represent mm-hmm. values to people, and print them out. And so I had a worksheet that had, a list of values. I don't know how many were on there, probably 100 or so. And you can find them online. And the exercise was really very practical. You know, circle at the first pass, I circled everything that kind of spoke to me, that I felt represented me or that was important to me. And I circled mm-hmm. a lot of words. And then I sort of filtered and narrowed them down to 10 core words. So then I went back and looked at, well, these kind of overlap, these words, these are similar. What is really getting closer to me? For example, compassion and passion, they both represent me. But at the time, and that's still true as a physician, I want to provide the most compassionate care. And my passion always comes through that. So So I went through this exercise and dialed it down to 10. And then I really worked hard to dial it down to 3 words. And it doesn't have to be 3, but it was an important exercise to really actually think about that. What is actually important to me? So I encourage mm-hmm. everyone to do this. When I mentor people sometimes, I encourage them to do the same thing, because suddenly this became a really helpful, valuable compass for me in terms of decision making. Task I would take on or not, and I still use this, and it's always it's always a struggle, but I'll always go back to that. And also when I feel certain amount of unrest, I do ask myself, why is that? And I can very often see how those core values show up, and where there is misalignment with my core values, there is there could be, like in a physician world, we talk about burnout. And I think a lot of that mm-hmm. has to do with that there's misalignment of the task we're doing every day and what our core values are. Mm-hmm. And that's what it pretty much boils down to. So it is really very, very helpful. And I think it helps so much moving forward to be dialed into your life and make it more valuable and make it more fun.
I absolutely agree. It's interesting the process that you walk through. When I work with people as a coach, I go through something called the values conversation. In fact, that's usually something I do with them in the first or second session, and we really narrow down and get clear on what their values are. And we do that for the same reason that you did that, is so you can have a filter. You can filter things through that, or have a lens to look through where you're going. And I think there's a similar reasoning as to like why people choose a word of the year. You know, it's so you have some type of guiding force. And I don't know, I remember my mom saying growing up, if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything. And I think that's true. You can easily get swept down a path that looks normal or usual or what you're supposed to do. And if you don't know where your values are, then you can simply be down a path that looks okay but doesn't feel okay for you. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, Inga, if people want to connect with you, and I'm sure they will, but want to know more about your journey and what you do, where can they find you?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is on Facebook, either on my Facebook page or profile. That will be just basically looking up my name, Inga, Inga Hoffman, with one F and two N's. You will easily find me. There's not many of me. I think I'm the only one. So that will be probably the easiest to connect more. And feel free to message or comment. I'm always connecting with people there, and I'm pretty good at getting back to people there as well if they have questions. That's probably the easiest.
Perfect. All right. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us today. I don't want to I don't want to cut you off. If there's anything else on your mind that you would want to say to listeners before we wrap up.
No, thanks for asking. Well, I really want to encourage everybody to sort of look into your soul and look at where is there unrest, or am I pretty happy with where I am? And if the answer is no, I feel like there is more for me, I encourage you to listen to that inner voice and find friends or mentors or coaches to chat about your dreams. Be careful who you talk about with your dreams. And be mindful of the naysayers. And in many ways, sometimes that becomes people's mantra of looking at where the naysayers are and just overcoming them and kind of prove them wrong. And I wouldn't be doing all these things if I wouldn't have asked myself those hard questions. So I encourage everybody to do that. And life is short. I often think to myself, what I do every day, especially the hours that I'm not with my children, it has to move the needle and it has to matter. And that's what I think living big means like as well. Make it count and make it matter, because you are maybe taking valuable time away from your family. So what you're doing in those hours, it has to make a dent in the universe for me to be meaningful. And that's, I guess that sums up a big life.
I love it. What a great way to summarize everything that we've talked about today. If you haven't been taking notes, listeners, and you have the opportunity to do so now, it'd be a great time to write a few things down. First of all, don't forget to connect with Inga on Facebook. If you aren't in a place to take notes, don't worry. This will all be written out for you in the description of the podcast. But I want to wrap up with just a few teaching points from what Inga has said. Now, these are just a few. There's probably at least 50 or more that you could have taken from what she shared with us today. But number one, find out what fits you and do that. And just start where you are. Find out what fits you. Number two, being unconventional is okay. And number three, create goals and embrace the life that you want. And then how do you do that? I have three steps that Inga laid out for us. Number one, don't listen to the shoulds that keep you stuck. Be honest about what you want. Number two, know your values. And number three, shut out the naysayers. All right, everyone. Thank you again for being here, Inga. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. I know you have all kinds of things you could do with your time. And being here with us is really, it's really an honor to be able to pour into your lives. So don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of Dialed In. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.